Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
And I'm so happy to be here with you. Let's just stand and pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria, Iraq, those that are going through the persecution right now. Heavenly Father, we just want to come to you, Lord, right now, Lord, and lift our brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, they're going through things that we cannot even imagine. They lost their homes, their kids being killed in front of their eyes, their women being raped. Lord, I just pray that you give them that power to forgive, Lord Jesus. I pray that you bring healing, Lord Jesus. Bring forgiveness, Lord, and just give them the ability to love their enemies, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, for ISIS leaders. I pray for Al-Shabaab leaders, for Al-Qaeda leaders, for Hamas leaders. Lord, we're asking for nothing less than the salvation of this people, that they may turn around and to follow you as a Lord and Savior. Lord, you changed Paul. You changed each one of us in this room. And you are the same, Lord. You are able to change these people. I pray that you give them no rest until they turn around and they ask you for forgiveness. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I do pray that you anoint me and give me the word to share with my brothers and sisters. Amen. Overcoming the fear. There's quite different kind of fear that I'm going to be talking about, not just one fear. We know the violence of Islam. We know what's happening just recently in France and a few months ago in San Bernardino County in California. The violence part of Islam. There is fear, and that fear is stopping us from reaching out to Muslims. But also there's a fear of not knowing what kind of arguments they're going to bring against us. When I talk to a Muslim, what kind of objections they have to Christianity? How can I answer these objections? And because we don't know, that's also causing us fear of reaching out to these Muslims. That's from our side. That's what is stopping the church from reaching out to Muslims. But what about the other side? The penalty of leaving Islam is death. That's what is stopping Muslims from coming to Christ. But is it just physical violence? No. What about the other side of it, not just the physical? The only unforgivable sin in Islam is to believe that Jesus is God. They call it shirk, to believe in more than one God. They misunderstood the Trinity. They think when we say Jesus is God and Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they think that we worship more than one God, and that's unforgivable sin. For a Muslim considering coming to know Christ as the Lord and Savior, they have to take the risk of committing the unforgivable sin. And that's one of the fear that stopping Muslims from coming to know Christ as the Lord and Savior. I'm going to be talking about these subjects, but our ministry to Muslims that we've been weekly going to mosques. Every single Friday, we stand outside the mosques. As Muslims coming out, we're handing Bibles to them. We trying to open communication and sharing the gospel with them. But also, we go to mission trips, as Pastor just mentioned, Dearborn, Michigan. We just came back from Dearborn, Michigan. And I'm going to be sharing in the end some footage of what an amazing opportunity we had. We were ready for around 40, 50 kids. We're hoping we will have 40, 50 kids, Muslim kids, coming to a VBS. But we were shocked with 120 kids. The church was packed. It was unbelievable that what's happening in the Middle East, what the enemy meant for bad, God using it for good, that Muslims are questioning Islam, Muslims are seeking something different. And that we need to do our job to reach out to these people. What an opportunity we have in this country where we have the freedom to preach the gospel is to reach out to these people. Okay. This is Paul's prayer toward the Jews, toward Israel, but it is my prayer toward the Muslim people. I was born in Sudan. I grew up in Sudan. I spent most of my life in Sudan, or maybe by now it's half of my life in Sudan. I've been here since 1996, but I grew up with the Muslim people. And as Pastor said, that majority of them are very nice people. And today, my desire is to show you that these people are sincere. They really want to follow God, but they don't know him. My brethren, my heart's desires and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Muslims think that they worship the true God. They think they worship the God that created the universe. They don't know the real God of the Bible. They don't know him. All their lives being taught that you cannot follow the God of the Bible. But they think they worship the God of Jesus and the God of Abraham, the God of Adam. That's what they think really they worship him. And they are so zealous and passionate for this God. They're willing to die for this God. They think he ordered them to kill us. They think that he commanded them to die as martyrs for Islam. They think this is the only way for salvation. That's what they've been taught all their life. They really wanted to obey God, but that's all they know, the Quran. The problem is not them. The problem is the teaching of the Quran. And the more they follow this teaching of the Quran, they have to become violent. But it's not according to knowledge. They don't know the true God. They pray 5 times a day. They fast entire months of Ramadan from sunrise to sunset time. They trying to pay money for the poor. They go to pilgrimage to Saudi Arabia. And they really wanted to do whatever Muhammad did. Because the Quran says that Muhammad is an example for all mankind. They have to copy him. Whatever he done, they have to do. And they think this is the way they can be saved. And they absolutely have no assurance of salvation. Even Muhammad himself, he said, even though I am the apostle of Allah, yet I don't know what Allah will do to me. The God of this world blinded the mind of them which believe not. Who's the God of this world? Satan. What other name we have for him? A liar and the father of lies. But in chapter 7 of the Quran, verse 99, it says this. Let's go to 354 first, sorry. 354, it says, they were deceiving and Allah was deceiving, for Allah the best of the deceiving ones. In the Quran, in black and white, he say, I am Satan. I am the best of all deceivers. Chapter 3, verse 54 of the Quran, Allah claimed to be the best of all deceivers. These people are deceived by the best of all deceivers. The father of lies, the God of this world blinded their eyes. They will usually, if you have a Quran or if you want to see one in the back, you're going to find that they change the translation from the best of all deceivers to the best of all planners to make it, to water it down for you to be accepted by you. But let's say it means planner. You ask your Muslim friend, do you trust Allah's plan for your life? They will say, absolutely, yes. We will trust Allah's plan for our life. You take them to chapter 7, verse 99, where they feel secure from the deception, let's say plan, from the plan of Allah. None feel secure from the plan of Allah except a people that shall lose. If you trusted Allah and you feel secure from Allah, you are going to hell. In the day of judgment, you're going to lose. It's very sad that you cannot trust your own God. What is this verse, the beginning? Who are they? They deceiving. They were deceiving. Who? The Jews. The Jews were deceiving to kill Jesus, but Allah were more deceiver than them. He took Jesus and put someone else on the cross for them to think that Jesus died on the cross. But the problem, who really did Allah deceive? The best followers of Jesus, the mother of Jesus. As a result, the disciples went preaching the gospel and they were willing to die for that message because Allah made it look like that Jesus died on the cross, but it was not Jesus. As a result, Allah established the largest cult in the world called Christianity because Allah made it look like that Jesus died on the cross. He gave us all the evidence that Jesus died on the cross because he deceived all of us simply. Is this the God we want to follow? Ask your Muslim friends, what did Allah accomplish by sending Jesus? Absolutely nothing. Let him speak. After that, tell him, let me tell you what did God accomplish according to the Bible by sending Jesus, and give them the gospel message. I don't want to tell you that Allah, the best of all deceivers, for you to go and use it with your Muslim friends. Your Allah is a false God. Your God did this, this. By the way, in my Arabic Christian Bible, we use the word Allah. The question is not if Allah is the best of all deceivers or Allah is Satan. The question is the God of Islam the best of all deceivers? Because our Allah is not the Allah of Islam. It's an insult to the God of the Bible to say that he's the God of Islam. But we are not going to go and start attacking the God of Islam to a Muslim, because my brother is a pastor in Sudan, and he usually say to Christians, you cannot cut someone's nose, after that give him a flower to smell. He's not going to be able to enjoy the smell. And the same thing, if you want to share the gospel with Muslims, you cannot start with that. You cannot start with attacking the God of Islam right away. They are not going to listen to you. Tell them about our God, and they will know the difference. Tell them about how he changed our life. Give him the gospel message. Tell them how much he loved us. And let them do the comparison. But if a Muslim asks me, do I believe in the same God? Absolutely no. But I will tell him this. I believe in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Do you? He will say no. The violence is clear, is obvious that we're seeing all across the world. It's absolutely is the spirit of Islam, the violence that we're seeing across the world. Islam is responsible for every killing, for every event that's happening across the world today. The Quran is responsible for that. It is not just a bunch of Muslims hijacked a great religion. Absolutely the other way around. These people are victim of this false teaching of the Quran. The more they get closer to the Quran, the more violent they will become. But guess what? The more closer to the Quran, the more closer to Jesus they are. You're going to say, well, how come? Because the ones that really seeking God is the ones they want to obey God. The liberals, they don't want to talk about religion. They don't care about religion. They don't want to discuss that. The ones willing to talk to us, the more fanatic they are, the more they want to talk about religion and discuss these things. They want to share their message with us. But Jesus is able to change even these people. Only 3% or 4% of the Muslims in America, they go to the mosque. And this is the people willing to talk to us about religion, about eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? This is the people that God bringing to himself from Islam. Many, the majority of Muslims coming to Christ is through dreams and visions. Jesus himself revealing himself to them. Because what? They are seeking Allah. They think they're worshiping the creator that created them. But God knows their heart. No matter what name they're calling him, if they really, truly, they're seeking the creator that created them, God is able to reveal himself to them. Because our God is not a limited God. He revealed himself to them and he set them free out of this false religion. And testimony after testimony, when Jesus revealed himself to them, they will not even question it. They know without a shadow of doubt that was Jesus, the Son of God. Islam attacks not just the church, not a threat just to the world, but it's also Islam attacks the heart of Christianity, attacking the deity of Jesus Christ. Islam attacks the heart of Christianity. If Jesus is not God, it's not good enough to die for our sins. It's not good enough to save us. He needs someone to save him as well. To believe in Jesus, Son of God, is essential to the teaching of the Bible to be saved. And Islam attacking that. Islam attacks also the heart of Christianity by attacking the crucifixion. Paul said what? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. And if Jesus did not die from the first place, how can he raise from the dead? Then That's also essential to the teaching of the Bible, that in order for us to be saved, that we must believe that in the death and the crucifixion, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. When you defend the deed of Christ, when you defend the crucifixion from the Bible, what are they going to do? They're going to bring their last card. Your Bible being corrupted. Your Bible being changed. You have many Bibles. And we have only one perfect Quran. They look in you, at you in the eyes and they tell you, we have only one perfect Quran and you have many Bibles. Always ask questions. When you deal with Muslims, always ask questions. The best way to reach out to Muslims is to ask questions. The Quran ordered Muslims to not ask questions. They are not allowed to question Islam, what they believe, what Islam teaches or what the Quran teaches. They are not permitted to ask. But by us asking questions to them, they have to give us an answer. By them trying to give us an answer, they have to use their brain. And that's the first step out of Islam when they start questioning. Ask them questions. Clarify. What do you mean by us having many Bibles? A lot of times meant translations. My Muslim friend, you have 32 different translations of the Quran as well. Sometimes they meant the Gospel of Matthew, John, Luke, Mark. They tell you this, you have four Bibles. And that's a great way to do it. When they object to that, I love it. Because that's a great door opening for me to explain the word gospel and to give the gospel message. Tell them, absolutely no, I don't believe the gospel of John and Matthew and Luke. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is, according to these people, they were eyewitnesses, but the gospel is the gospel of Jesus. It's only one good news that we know, that Jesus came from heaven to earth to die for our sins and just give the gospel message. There is nothing more powerful than the word of God to give to these people. That's the only way they can be saved. A lot of people go from seminar to seminar, from church to church, trying to find a magical way to reach out to Muslims. And a lot of time I'm looking for a magical way in how to convince the body of Christ to reach out to Muslims. But there's no magical way to reach out to Muslims. It's just the gospel message. They are sinners like anyone else. We need to overcome that fear and reach out to these people. They are hungry for the word of God. They are hungry for the God that made them and created them. I usually start with this here. The Bible or the Quran with a Muslim. The Bible or the Quran. They cannot be both true. Why? Can someone tell me why they cannot be both true? Contradict? Absolutely. Jesus is God. Jesus is not God. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus did not die on the cross. It cannot be both true. One of them have to be true. If the Bible we have today, as it is the true word of God, then the Quran cannot be the word of God because it contradicts the Bible. But what if the Bible being corrupted? What if the Bible being corrupted? That's what we're gonna see. What if the Bible being corrupted? They believe that Allah is the God who created the universe, that this God, he revealed the Old Testament, the Psalms, and the New Testament. This God, he trusted Moses and his people in to keep the Old Testament, but they did not do their job, was corrupted. This God, he trusted the people of David to protect and to watch over the Psalms. They did not do their job. This God trusted the Jesus and his followers to protect the New Testament, and they did not do their job. Simply, this God did not know the future, that these people are not protecting his word. He did not do the right thing by just trusting them. Three times he trusted them, they were corrupted by human. Human corrupted these three books. But my question to them, if this is the same God reveal another book, what gonna stop the human from corrupting the Quran as well? How can I trust a God that he failed three times to protect his book? How I can trust a God that he did not know the future, that his book's gonna be corrupted, and trusted the people? How can I trust another word for him if three times he did not learn the lesson? They say, oh, no, God, he learned the lesson now. Now he took full charge of protecting the Quran. We're going to see if that's true. If God really going to take care of watching over the Quran and making sure it's not being corrupted. The Quran claimed to be eternal, claimed to be perfect, claim to be unchanged. These claims cannot even meet the Bible we have, the physical Bible, because we don't believe the physical Bible, the papers that printed, is coming down from heaven like the Mormons believe. Or, by the way, Joseph Smith, one of the two. He has the same demon that revealed to Muhammad came to him, or he has absolutely full access to the Islamic resources and he just copied the whole thing. A lot of similarities. And the last similarity I found is when I watched a movie called September Dawn, 1852, when a group of Mormons, by the leading of the second in command after Joseph Smith, they attacked Christian groups and killed them all. It's a very powerful movie. It's a true story. September Dawn, 1852. It's a great movie to watch. But we don't claim the Bible coming down from heaven. We do believe the inspiration of the Word of God is perfect. We do believe that the original is perfect. But we do believe that men make copies from copy to copy. And there's some differences and there's some variances. But the Word is still preserved. That the message is clearly there's, like, for example, King James Version, there's extra verses that we don't find in other translations. Or we can find them, but they will say it's not in the original. The majority of the manuscripts not found it. But this verses does not change anything from the fact that Jesus is God. Does not change anything from the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Even if we would put the New Testament aside, let's take the Old Testament. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls that goes 200 years before Jesus, 800 years before Muhammad. This Dead Sea Scrolls is matching perfectly what we have today. And from the book of Isaiah, not just one copy, there was over 20 copies, I believe, of the book of Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah alone, we can see the deity of Christ. We can see the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The only thing missing from the whole Dead Sea Scrolls is, I believe, is the book of Esther. And that does not make any different. The New Testament, we have around 5,800 manuscripts for the New Testament. The P52 goes 25 years only after the Apostle John died. There's no book in the world has more evidence than the Word of God. It is what we have today is absolutely is trustworthy. But we cannot claim that the Bible coming down from heaven, eternal, perfect, unchanged. We do believe there's variances. But the Quran claimed these claims. That means the Quran, every single copy across the world must be 100%, not even one dot extra or less, because it's coming down from heaven. It's eternal, unchanged, perfect. Is that true? The Word of God, we know that inspired, it's not written by man. It's the Word of God originally is holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were like the pen in the hand of God. This is it's unbelievable. There's no way for corruption for the Word of God. Okay, can someone read with loud voice from the back? One of you, can you read this passage? Forget about the difficult names.
It is narrated that Aisha said the verse of stoning and of breastfeeding an adult 10 times was revealed, and the paper was with me under my pillow. When the messenger of Allah died, we were preoccupied with his death, and a tame sheep came in and ate it.
These verses are not longer in the Quran because a sheep ate it. They're telling me my Bible being corrupted while their Quran, there's verses are eaten by sheep. It's not longer in the Quran. And they will look at you in the eyes. I promise you, if you did not talk to Muslims yet and you start talking to them, the first thing they're going to tell you, your Bible is corrupted. You have many Bibles. We have only one Quran. But these verses are not longer in the Quran because a sheep ate it. It's called Sunan Ibn Majid, 1944. Muslims, they don't believe just in the Quran. They believe in something called hadith. Hadith reporting things that Muhammad said. There's tons and tons of volumes of these books. Like Sunni Muslims, they believe in 6 authentic sets of hadith. One of them, Hadith Bukhari, is 9 volumes. Hadith Muslim, 9 volumes. And another 4 that also 9 volumes each. And each volume is the size of the New Testament. Shia Muslims, they have 2 authentic hadiths. One of them, 12 volumes. One of them is 110 volumes. No Muslim read all this material. But the Quran alone, they cannot understand, they cannot follow Islam, to wash themselves before prayers, how many times a day they pray. They cannot take all that from the Quran. They must go to see how Muhammad done it in order for them to do it. And if the Quran disagrees with what Muhammad did, guess what? They go with what Muhammad did, not the Quran. Not the word of God, but Muhammad. But go ahead and read this, please, brother. Sorry.
Surah 33:6 declares that the Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers. Ubayy ibn Ka'b, Muhammad's top student, and other early Muslims held a phrase, and he is a father of them.
This phrase is not longer in the Quran. It's missing. And Ubayy ibn Ka'b is a key individual. Muhammad, he said, if you forgot the Quran, go to four individuals. And Ubayy ibn Ka'b was one of them. And he disagreed with the Quran they have today. And Muhammad, he said, go to him because he's the best memorizer of the Quran. The word Quran, it means to memorize, to recite. The Quran was not meant to be a book. That's why when the Quran speaks of people of the book, it always meant Christian and Jews. It was never meant Muslims because there was no book called Quran. They start collecting the Quran to put it together because of them killing each other. They're afraid they're going to lose the Quran because the Muslims killing Muslims from the day Muhammad died. That's why they start collecting the Quran. But this phrase is missing. It's not longer in the Quran today. And In this Abu Musa, he's saying there's two chapters are missing due to laziness. Now, God trusted the people of Moses to protect the Old Testament, trusted the people of David to protect the book of Psalms, trusted the people, followers of Jesus to protect their book. They did not do their job. Now he's going to take control. He will do it this way. Trust the memory of people. And that due to laziness, two chapters are not longer in the Quran. Our ministry, we're doing our own Quran, accurate translation, because we found out that 25,000 to 30,000 Americans every year converting to Islam because there's no accurate translation of the Quran. We took the task of retranslating the Quran, but we also found the two chapters are missing in the Quran. We're adding them back again to the Quran that we have. Pray for us because it's an amazing project. Not just the Quran. We have every time the Quran attacked the Christian faith, we in the commentary in the bottom, we're defending the Christian faith. Every time there's contradictions in the Quran, we're pointing to these contradictions. But also, they found six manuscripts of the Quran. These six manuscripts, none of them match what they have. These two scholars from Turkey, they went and looked at it and say, none of them is Osmanic. What is Osmanic? Osman, he was the third successor. He is the one who took the task of putting the Quran together and finalize it. They say these manuscripts, none of them match what the third successor finalized. The Quran they have all across the world, and they burn all these different Qurans and that disagree with their Quran. That was just finalized. Finally, it's supposed to be they burn more Qurans, and they finalize it in 1924. And they come to you and tell you our Quran is only one Quran, and you have many Bibles. Rice University, that Professor Daniel, he looked at this manuscripts, and he came with this conclusion. There's taping. They're covering words. And there's inserting, they're adding words. There's erasing. There's erasing and overriding. There's overriding without erasing. How can you tell me it's eternal, perfect, unchanged? It cannot be. The Quran is not eternal. The Quran is not perfect. The Quran has been changed. But also we know that the Bible cannot meet that even that claims. But who has the eternal, perfect, unchanged word of God? Yesterday and today and forever. Jesus himself. Jesus is the eternal, perfect, unchanged word of God. We do have that. The Bible, we should not compare the Bible with Muhammad if we want to, based on that claims of the Quran. The Bible compared into the hadith, because the hadith tell us about Muhammad and things that Muhammad said, and the Bible tell us about Jesus and everything that Jesus done and everything that Jesus said, and Jesus is coming and Jesus came and Jesus will come back again. Everything in the Bible is in the level of the hadith. But the hadith is word of man, and every Muslim will admit that. But the Bible is a word of God. The hadith is full with contradictions. The Bible, absolutely, there's no contradiction in the word of God. Also, not just us claiming that Jesus is the word of God. The Quran also believes that Jesus is the word of God. In the beginning, according to the Bible, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. But in the Quran says, the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, is but apostle, the apostle of God and his word. The Quran itself believes that teaches that Jesus is the word of God. And not just that, the Quran teaches that Jesus is a perfect word of God by saying that Jesus is a holy boy or holy son. When the angel was giving the good news to Mary that she's going to have a baby, he told her, your son is sinless in other translations. Sinless son. The Quran never said anything about Muhammad being sinless, but the Quran says that Jesus is sinless. Then Jesus is the perfect word of God according to the Quran as well. The Quran is not eternal, Jesus is. The Quran is not perfect, Jesus is. The Quran has been changed, Jesus never changed. We have all what we can give them. Don't be overwhelmed with their arguments and accusations and stuff. We have the evidence, we have the things we need to show them. But what I want to show you now, this three verses from the Quran. If you know these three verses, just write down Surah or Quran 547, Quran 568, Quran 6115. If you know these three verses in the Quran, you will answer every single objection they have using these three verses. Don't be overwhelmed. It's really easy. It's really simple. But you need to challenge what they believe in order for them to seek something different, in order for them to know that they need someone else than Muhammad. In order for them to seek Christ and to come to Christ, they need to know where they are is in the wrong place. Now, earlier I showed you this picture, the Bible or the Quran. If the Bible true, word of God, the Quran cannot be word of God because the Quran contradicts the Bible. But if the Bible being corrupted, let's see now what this passage says. And let the people of the gospel judge by what Allah has revealed therein. Allah telling Muhammad, let the Christian to be judged by the gospel. If this gospel has been corrupted, how in the world are you telling me that Allah telling Muhammad that to be judged by the gospel? He said, don't judge the Christians by the Quran, judge them by the gospel. Which gospel, my Muslim friend? If it's not available today, this Bible, this verse of the Quran is expired. The Quran is false because the gospel has been corrupted. Another verse is say all people of scripture, which is mean Christian and Jews, not Muslims, because there was no book or scripture called Quran at that time. Say all people of scripture, you are on nothing until you uphold the Torah and the gospel and what has been revealed to you from your Lord. You are on nothing until you uphold, until you follow the laws of the Torah and the gospel. How can I uphold something that I cannot find it today if it's not available, if it's being corrupted? Which book, Muhammad, is Allah telling me that to follow? Which one? If it's not available, bring it to me. And in chapter 6, 115, it says, none can alter his words. None can change Allah's words. If you believe the word, the Bible and the Torah is the word of Allah and the Quran is the word of Allah, and none can alter his words, how can part be altered and what part is not? It's impossible. And it did not say word, it say words, many of them. All of his words cannot be altered and changed. My Muslim friend, you want me to accept your words and say the Bible being corrupted, or accept the Quran telling me my Bible is not being corrupted? And now, if the Bible, true word of God, The Quran cannot be word of God because it contradicts the Bible. And if the Bible been corrupted, the Quran is still wrong because the Quran telling me the Bible is cannot be corrupted. No matter what, the Quran is not an option for human to follow. And that's what you need to bring them to that point to recognize they have a need for a savior. Their only hope is they believe in a perfect book. But what they need to know, they need a perfect savior. They need Jesus. These people coming to America to be free, but we know they cannot be free except if Jesus set them free. If they know Christ as the Lord and Savior, they can be free indeed. These people need to hear the gospel message. They need someone to stand and to give them a response. We cannot just tell them Jesus loves you. A lot of times a lot of Muslims tell me that Christianity is not really worth standing for. No Christians should stand. I will bring all these objections to them, and instead of answering my objections, they just wash it all out of the way and say, oh, Jesus loves you. They think when we say Jesus loves us, they think that we have a license for sin. We can do whatever we want, and Jesus died for us, and we're going to go to heaven. That's their understanding when we say just Jesus loves you. They think, because in Islam, there's no separation between people, government, laws, everything is one. When they look at our government, when they look at the homosexuality, when they look at abortion, the killing of innocent babies, they think this is Christianity. When they look at Madonna dancing with her underwear wearing a cross, they think this is Christianity. They don't separate. That's why it's very important that you show them what does it mean to be Christian. And a lot of time when they ask me, are you Christian? I have to stop and tell him, what do you mean by saying I'm a Christian? What do you mean by that? If I was born just to a Christian home, Christianity is not something we inherit. And I start sharing my testimony. I rather a lot of time to tell them I am a follower of Christ instead of saying I'm Christian. Because in their mind, everybody around us is Christian in America. They think we are a Christian nation today, that following the Bible, that's why we're allowing the killing of innocent babies and all that stuff. It's very important to show them what does it mean to be Christian and explain and use it as a common ground that we're standing against the killing of innocent babies. We're standing against homosexuality and all this stuff. Use it as a common ground that we agree with you. This is not what God wanted. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Use these things to bring them in a common ground. Don't use some organizations that are trying to say, oh, we use that we believe in the same God as a common ground. That's false. We don't believe in the same God. This one question leading thousands of Americans, even those becoming to consider themselves Christians, to leave Christianity and becoming Muslims. Our young people are targeted in universities and colleges. Just with this one question. Answer inside of you. Don't answer loud. Majority of Christians, they will say, Jesus does not have God. As a result, they will bring Jesus' own word. I did not yet go to my father and your father, my God and your God, and show you that Jesus said that he has a God. We need to know what we believe. We need to know who Jesus is. And the more we know him, the more we know how much he loved us. In Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. God is the God of all flesh. This is the answer. Because how much Jesus loved us, the moment he decided, and the moment he became a child in his mom's womb, he submitted to the Father as his God. The price for our sin was against eternal God, not anyone else. Eternal God, the punishment is eternal. Jesus did not just pay the price in 3 days and rose from the dead and everything is fine. No. He submitted to the Father as his God. As flesh, he came in this world. Yes, Jesus is fully man and fully God. But as a second nature of Jesus as a man, the moment he became a baby in his mom's womb, he submitted to the Father as his God. And the Bible tells us also that Jesus for eternity going to have that flesh with the wounds in it. For eternity, going to submit to the Father as his God. I'm talking about the second nature of Jesus. There's nothing wrong to say, yes, Jesus as a man, he has a God. Because we need to answer the proper answers, because otherwise they're going to catch our kids. And this is they targeting your children, your grandchildren, university and colleges. In every single university and college, they call themselves MSA, Muslim Student Association. They're converting thousands and thousands of kids. We need to educate our young ones to know what we believe and how we defend what we believe. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says this, be ready to give an answer. But the word answer here is defense. It's apologia. That we are all called to be apologists, to be military defending our faith. But also we are all called to be witnesses. To be a witness to Christ, to share our story as a witness that how Christ, what Christ done in our lives. This is a very important question. You need to deal with this with your children, grandchildren, and share with them about that. And it's one website I would recommend to you. It's called answeringislam.org, answeringislam.org. In that website, our ministry and other ministries, we work so hard to show how to defend and how to answer these objections. Every Muslim objections, if you know a Muslim and he gave you a question that you could not answer, it's okay to tell them, I don't know the answer. Look at it as an opportunity for a second meeting. Don't just make up an answer. Tell him, this is a great question. Let's sit down again and we're going to talk about it again. I would like to study this more. Go to that website, answeringislam.org. Enter that question. We will give you the answers. There's an amazing apologist, over 40, 50 people working in that website to make it available for you guys, for the whole body of Christ. But I would like to share with you a little bit about Dearborn, Michigan. I have a few minutes here. Dearborn, Michigan. Why a lot of Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan? Do you know, guys? Henry Ford. He was friend of Hitler. He did not like the Jews because he is a friend of Hitler, the Jews start encouraging people to not buy his cars. And as a result, he became mad at them. And he started bringing Arab Muslims to the United States. They will come to Dearborn for a few years. They don't like the weather because of a lot of snow and stuff like that. They will stay there until they get their green card or citizenship. And after that, they will come to California, of course, and other places where there's a better weather. But majority of Muslims came to America because of Henry Ford. We can look at it in both ways, as a challenge to the United States, but also as an opportunity for us to share the gospel with them. God can use anything, but I really believe that God allowed it to happen for these people to come here to hear the gospel message. Our God is a God in control. Even the Quran. I was reading the Quran as we were doing the translation. Nowhere in the Quran says the Bible being corrupted. Nowhere in the Quran it says the land belonged to the Muslims. It says it belonged to the Jews, and God going to bring back the Jews to their land. I ask myself, why this? Why is that? And the only answer I get is the story of Job. Even when Satan wanted to attack Job, he was not allowed to do whatever he wants. God was limiting him. God was telling Satan, you can claim whatever you want, but this land I gave it to my people. You cannot claim it. God is in control. A lot of Muslims coming out of Islam, as they read the Quran more, they start hating Muhammad and fall in love with Jesus because Jesus is lifted very high in the Quran. Even though I don't believe the Jesus of the Quran is the Jesus of the Bible, he's a counterfeit because if they took the two most important things about Jesus out, his deity and crucifixion, then what else left? Amazing that he's born of a virgin. He is going to come and judge the world according to Islam. And he is the Messiah without knowing what it meant. He is with God right now. He's sinless. He's the word of God, but if they took the most two important things, his deity and his crucifixion and resurrection for our sins, then he is a counterfeit Jesus that made up by Satan to draw people far from the Jesus of the Bible. But we can use the Jesus of the Quran to show the Muslims that the Jesus of the Quran does not make any sense. How can he be Word of God, sinless, coming to judge the world, and he telling me he's not more than a prophet? This picture does not make any sense to me. It's not a clear picture. How can he be all these good things, but not more than a prophet? Let me bring you here and show you the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. I don't use the Quran except to destroy the Quran. I will never give the Quran credibility. And to a lot of people meant to use the Quran in a way that to show them the gospel from the Quran only. That's not right. We need to show them that the Quran, there's no hope, and they need Christ. We use the Quran, the Jesus in the Quran, to show that it doesn't make sense. He doesn't make sense. Let me show you the full picture of Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus died for our sins. That's why he's the Word of God. That's why he's sinless. Because Muhammad, nowhere in Islamic resources says that Muhammad is sinless. How can he pay for our sins? But Jesus is sinless. He can pay for our sins. There's what's good if Jesus is sinless and he did not die and rise from the dead? Let me show you the full story of Jesus, what God accomplished by sending Jesus according to the Bible. And they will be drawn to him. Many Muslims, when they read the Word of God, when they read just the Sermon on the Mount, copy this and give it out to Muslims. I see Muslim in front of me crying with tears. I never heard this kind of teaching. Love your enemy to pray for those persecute you. They never seen that. Dearborn, Michigan, every morning we started with a training. We have teams from all across America. We have around 70-something people this year. And we did VBS for Muslim kids. We were using art to preach the gospel. And we had the first night, 120 Muslims came to church. It was unbelievable, unbelievable. Muslim women with the veil, and it was just packed. And we give them this church. It says, the theme was, God is Almighty, Holy, and Love. And every day of the 3 days, we focus in one of these three. The first day, we talk about His Almighty and talk about the creation. And the next day we talked about his holiness and the Ten Commandments. We got some resources from Ray Comfort Ministry. And the last day we talked about God's love. It's so beautiful to see these kids wearing this shirt the next day and walking half a block away or more to half a mile away and walking toward church, holding each other excited they're going to come to church. One of the kids that came, he was coming secretly without his family members knows. Without his parents, knowing that his father would never allow him to come to church. The last day he was begging us for a Bible. We couldn't give it to him. The pastor of the church, he said, if you give that kid a Bible, his father will kill him. His desire is to know Jesus. His desire to read the Word of God. And we couldn't give it to him. Here they were memorizing John 3:16. We divide them into small groups. Each group, they have every 20 minutes, they switch rooms. But we were not ready for 120 kids. But praise God, I love this kind of problems. These kids are so beautiful. And the women came, they were all veiled. Like here, we did a henna party. I don't know if you know henna. It's like drawing art in hands and stuff like that. We did a henna party for women. No men were allowed to be there, just the women. And they get to share the gospel with them. And all the women, they came. These women, you cannot see their faces outside. They will be covered even their faces. But inside, because there's only women, they unveil their faces. There was almost 80 women there. I think 70-something women. They came to that event. And this is not any Muslim. This is Salafi Wahhabi women, covered fully from the top down. They came to hear the gospel message. They are open more than ever before. It's for us just to overcome that fear and to be obedient to the command of Christ to go to the entire world and to preach the gospel to these people. Brother Andrew, years ago, he said, if we did not go to the Islamic world with the love of Christ, they're going to come with the sword of Islam. And that's already done. Now I'm telling you, if we did not go to their homes and their mosques, they're going to come to our homes and mosques with the sword of Islam. We shouldn't reach out to them out of fear. We should reach out to them as obedient for our Lord and Savior and as love for the lost, that they're going to spend eternity in hell without Christ. These people need Christ. He is the only one can transform their heart and can change their heart to become a loving people. And they can leave Islam, the hatred and all the teaching in the Quran. Please, if you looked at Muslims in the past as enemies, please, my prayer today, that you will look at them as victims of Islam, as sheep without shepherd, as lost without salvation. They have absolutely no hope. When you see these women and you see just their eyes, they're so sad. They are lost. They are slaves in a free country in their homes. If a husband say to his wife, if you left the house, you will be divorced. Automatically, she's divorced if she left the house. If he told her, if your mom visited the house, you are divorced. Automatically, she's divorced unless if he forgotten that he told her so. These women are abused and beat up. I'm begging you, reach out to the Muslim that you have around you here. Show them the love of Christ. Maybe there's a Muslim that you have at work. Maybe a Muslim next door. Maybe for years you ignored that individual. But that person needs Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to reach out to these people. He promised us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to give us the word. You don't need something special. You need just to share the word of God, your testimony. And he promised that he would be with us at all time. It's just us to obey his command. I would love to have you guys to come with us next year. Lord willing, we're going from August 3rd to August 13th next year. And we're going to have many, many different teams. We're looking for many different people, from sound system people to help us with the technical stuff. We're looking for women to just to reach out to the Muslim women. We're looking for, we have as young as 3 years old, they come with us. They are so open to you more if you have your children with you. If you have your children, they will not feel like threatened by you. They will talk to you more and as a family. Many Muslim homes, they invited us inside. Just, I'm going to finish with this one testimony. As we knocking door to door this year, the last day in the outreach, the last door did not open the door. We left the Bible outside. And our team members walked to the car because they're going to Henry Ford Public Library. We rented the facility for Muslim family entertainment night where we preach the gospel as well there. And as the team leaving, the daughter from that house running after them, shouting and stopping them to come back, say, my mom waiting for you. They went back. They say, I've been waiting all day long for you. How did you know we are coming? She say, I saw a dream yesterday. And in my dream, I knew you are coming and you're bringing Bible to me. Her and her husband, she's the nominal Christian. She's not a Muslim, but her husband is a Muslim. The kids were Muslims. Half an hour later, holding hands and praying to accept Christ as the Lord and Savior. We could reach more. We could share the gospel with more of these people. Jesus already preparing their hearts. I cannot claim that we converted these people because it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Only for us to be instruments in his hands and let him use us. I will be back there. If you have any question, I would love to talk to you more. Let's, Pastor, would you come and close us in prayer?
Feel like time just flew by. Oh my goodness. Thank you, brother. That was amazing. I love how you ended this because I think we all feel like this is like, you know, trying to eat an elephant or, you know, trying to move a mountain. It's just like, how do you deal with it? But really, that testimony at the end really, to me, helped me because it really has to be the Lord going before us. Okay, there, like he said, and believe me, I've been looking for the magic silver bullet for Mormons for decades. There isn't one. There isn't one bullet. And you know what? It doesn't matter because we have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will use different things. And he has to go before us.
Amen.
To prepare. All we have to do is be willing to go. and yes. trust that he goes before us. Amen. Amen.
And we have the Jesus film, The Gospel of Luke, by Campus Crusade in 16 languages. They get to choose the language they want. It's free of charge in the back. And we have the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans. The Gospel of John showing them the deity of Christ. The Book of Romans dealing with sin and convicting them. In English and Arabic, side by side, is free of charge. It's in the back. And also the arguments you heard about the Quran, we have it in a track. You can make as many copies as you want. You can write down your cell phone number to call you back. It's free of charge. There's other resources we have available for equipping you is for a charge. But there's prices for it, but whatever you have is fine with me. You don't have, even if you don't have money, you're welcome to take it. Thank you.
And if you know a Muslim, if you get some of that stuff, just the fact that it's in Arabic, that's just like a magnet to them.
Absolutely.
They just like, wow. And they'll read it just because it's in Arabic. And it's an amazing thing. Anyway, also, I just want to encourage you. Pastor George is in Central Orange County. That's not very far away. And he does outreaches on Fridays to mosques. So if you're, you know, if you're stirred in that direction, I'm going to encourage you to get involved with what he's doing. And you don't have to even do anything. Just go out there and be prayer partner first. And then as you feel more comfortable, then you might be have an opportunity on the outreach. But you're going to get equipped in that way. So however God would want to use you to partner with Pastor George and his ministry would be an awesome thing. Amen? Let's pray for him as we close. Come on up, brother. Oh, Lord. God, we just come to you, Lord, and we bring our brother and our friend, Lord. I can't imagine the, Lord, the struggles, the difficulties, and, Lord, the attacks that he does get. I know, Lord, that there are some that hate him for what he's doing. But, Lord, I thank you that you have honored him with that fellowship of suffering of Jesus Christ, that they're not rejecting him. They're rejecting Jesus. And like he said, those are the souls that God wants to get a hold of. And they're so close to salvation. So anoint Pastor George. Anoint those that are serving with him. Lord, go before them and prosper their paths, Lord. Go before them and anoint their ways with the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that you would give us opportunities, that you would give us the words to speak to Muslim and non-Muslim alike, that our hearts might be stirred with the gospel. We have the only hope for salvation. There is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.